Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 46 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Panama, Belgium, and the list goes on. So I want to thank you to those who are listening to the show from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here, we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing, highlighting the transformational moment that changed our life, and how we're using these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern live. However, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, those are reserved for the amazing guests that are elevating, inspiring, transforming. There's a book launch, product launch, an event we're promoting, something that they are doing in the world that deserves an honorable mention. And that is why we're here today. You can join our Facebook group community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can also subscribe wherever you're comfortable listening, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, wherever you're currently listening, subscribe here to Blog Talk Radio. Never miss an episode. On the show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them, and my guest today does exactly that. Please help me welcome to the show my buddy, Manny Wolf. What's up, my brother?
Hey, man. What's happening?
Dude, I'm super pumped to have you on the show, man. Anytime I can sit here, pull out a dictionary, and talk with you, man, it's pretty awesome.
So what you're saying is I should just unleash the hounds and let her rip and not try to hold back for anyone's sake. I love it.
You know, right? Like the other day we're talking and you're like, I love a good catharsis. And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, Google, what the hell is catharsis?
Yeah. What is that? It sounds great.
Right? I thought you said lethargic for a second. I'm like, I never know what that means, you know. But but yeah, dude, like your vocabulary is just at a whole nother level. Did you go HNL with it, brother? Whole nother level. And I got to get to that level, right? So you make me want to become smarter.
That's pretty much my goal right there. You know, that's a, right. I can sleep well tonight, job well done, mission accomplished, et cetera, right. Et cetera. Yeah. If I can just by showing up, make people happily want to raise their own game. Yeah. That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So the title of the episode is The Tao of the Unbreakable Man with Manny Wolf. Manny Wolf is the author of the international best-selling personal memoir, The Tao of the Unbreakable Man. He is a highly sought-after public speaking coach and the creator of the Thousand Speakers Academy, whose mission is to train 1,000 of the next great speakers and leaders. To join the Facebook group that he has expertly curated, see, I'm not throwing some big words out now, go to facebook.com/groups/1000speakers academy. 1000 Speakers Academy. Join the group. It is an amazing killer group. So, dude, I got to ask you, man, like, what is your why? Like, what is the big why that you have for what you do?
Yeah, you know, probably not a big surprise. People in our line of work, we get that a lot, right? What is the big why? I have to sort of refer back to one of my heroes, Michael Gerber. And I'm going to paraphrase what he said here, because frankly, I'm not sure what my why is in the sense that I know people are expecting the answer to be. My why is really the first, I'm going to estimate about 38 years of my life, I was either what I jokingly refer to as carbon neutral, or I was taking from society. I don't want to be bragging on myself. The truth of the matter is I wasn't what you'd call by any reasonable measure a good person. I mean, in my heart, I was good. And we could get all philosophical about good and bad, and but whatever. The point is, I did bad things, and I did them a lot, you know. Breaking and entering, petty crime, drugs, dealing drugs, using drugs, recklessly sleeping with any woman that would have me, regardless of the consequences. And by the way, there are consequences, man. not the obvious what everybody thinks about. Oh, you're going to catch a disease.
Nope.
I will tell you, I got off lucky in that regard somehow. But
right.
There are consequences in terms of the damage you do to friendships, to relationships. I'm your boy. I did that. You know, I indiscriminately slept with whoever, and that meant girlfriends of friends. And like, I look back now and I'm like, how could you have even done that? The truth is, I was taught to do that from a very young age. I was taught that, you know, monogamy was a convention and we didn't pay attention to it because we were more evolved. And like, I was taught a lot of messed up stuff. So like anybody, I took that stuff and I ran out into the world with it. And when I did, I ran into all the resistance of the cultural norms of our society. I was taught to ignore those norms. I was taught to flaunt them. I was taught to basically fly in the face of them. And that's a hugely damaging thing to teach a child, you know. It's like, so at some point, I like the intro, you know, it's the person who did the intro talked about that turning point moment. Well, that turning point moment for me was when I realized, among other things, that my God, the way that I've thought about, you know, like treating women and relationships doesn't work. It's super destructive. The way that I've thought about using drugs, super destructive. The way that I thought about, you know, flaunting other norms like petty crime, going to jail, those kind of things. Most people don't want to do those things. Well, I just didn't care until I had that turning point moment. And so I'd like to tell you that at that turning point moment, everything kind of like fell into place, but that's just not the truth of it. The truth is, I thought everything fell into place only to realize that the road was just starting, man, like just starting, you know?
Yeah.
You think, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. It's like, somebody puts 10 pounds on your back and you go, okay, I got this. And then they put another 10 pounds on your back and you go, okay, I got this. And you put another 10 pounds on your back and it's like, okay, this is getting a little heavy. And somebody walks in with an elephant and puts that on your back, you know, like, and you got to buck up under the weight. That was my process from my turning point moment. I mean, it was 15 years of self-discovery, of just frustration, of, you know, just being determined that no matter what else happened, I wouldn't give up. Like, that was the only thing that got me through to sort of the man that you know today, right? I mean, the biggest compliment people can give me is they read my book and they say, I cannot imagine you being that person. You know, and to that I say, thank you, because that means that I've really, really internalized some deep changes. But so my why is, how do I set the scales so that they're not like imbalanced with, you know, I want to live the rest of my life giving and sharing and like being of value more than I took. Does that make sense?
Yep. Absolutely.
Like, that's really my why, man, is like when I shuffle off this mortal coil, I want it to be like, okay, well at least like, if only just barely, you know, like, okay, he did more good than bad. You know, like, that's really what it is. And I just like, when I get into those sort of quiet moments of reflection, the only reason I can think of why I'm still here, if life isn't a big cosmic joke, is that I am supposed to try to help other people, man. I mean, I know that that sounds a little maybe cliche, but dude, I walk it and talk it and live it every day. And it's my why.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So with every, you know, change and, you know, moment that happens, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving was started because, you know, her daughter was killed by a drunk driver. You know, we have these moments that, you know, when I had Frank Shankiewicz, the founder of Make-A-Wish, on the show, I said, well, you know, what was that transformational moment? He says, it was the start of the Make-A-Wish.
Right.
And so what he said was that, you know, there was this little boy and he just had a wish to be, you know, a policeman. And we made it happen for him. And it was like, ding, a light bulb went off. Like, maybe we should do that. I never think that transformation is overnight, you know. But talk about your transformational moment. You know, what were you doing? Kind of set the stage. And how did you know that this was the moment that's going to put you on the path to what you're doing now?
Okay. So I didn't know that. That is usually okay. For us, that is one of those – once you're on the, you know how we have those really powerful moments. They're usually painful, not always.
Sure. Oh,
usually
yeah.
Usually painful. And it's yep. just like, if you thought about going through that moment before the moment arrived, you might say to yourself, I could never do it. But when you're thrust through it, then what happens is you just go through it and then you're in the other side of it and you look back. You know, that's kind of how it was. But I'll tell you what the moment was. So, to set the stage, up until I was 14 years old, I was taught, maybe brainwashed. I was indoctrinated with this belief that I didn't fit in. I didn't want to fit in. I had nothing for the outside world, what you and I know as society. In fact, I was taught that I was better. I was smarter, that it was a joke. They were wrong. We were right. All of this, like, just really sort of antisocial stuff. And then at 14 years old, with no explanation, no sort of like, okay, look, I know we were heading this direction. Let's just turn the wheel gently and do a U-turn. I was told, you need to go out and you need to make money. You got to go out and get a job. Now, for those of you that are paying close attention, that's 2 years before it was even legal. You know, you can't just go out and get a job at 14. You don't live in the 1850s anymore, you know. Like, I was 9 right. years old, and my pappy told me, you need to bring something into the house.
Yeah, it isn't like that anymore. Like, child labor laws or something.
Right, yeah. In California, 16 is when you can legally work. I think they might have even changed it since then. I don't know. So that was traumatic. That was really bizarre. I lied about my age. I got a job at a bakery, and that was the start of my work career. My work career probably spanned something like 100 different jobs. Now, I'm just guessing because I couldn't possibly remember them all. But I mean, I was so cavalier about jobs that I one time literally walked into a fast food restaurant dressed like I had just come from the beach because I had talked my way into a job and then didn't show up for it that night.
Oh, geez.
I got hired on the spot wearing shorts and a tank top. No shoes, and didn't show up for the job that night.
Ouch.
So that, because I just didn't care, man. It wasn't put in me to value those things. So anyway, that'll give you an idea of the way I approached life. Plus, I was a huge fan of drugs.
Okay, then.
Like a
All
huge
right.
fan. Like, I really liked them. And so, you know, those kind of things mixed together are going to lead you to some dark places. And the dark place that I was led to that was the turning point was right before my 28th birthday. I had just gotten out of jail. I was homeless when I went into jail. And I had, you know, 5 or 6 cardboard boxes of belongings that were stashed at different friends' houses. I go to jail. Unbeknownst to me, while I'm in jail, I make the front page of the newspaper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was ridiculous. It was, I was caught with a tiny amount of narcotics, and I saw the newspaper headline, and I don't have an explanation to this day for why it happened. They completely fabricated this huge drug bust story and put me at the center of it.
Huh.
If I had been more, you know, one of those guys who had presence of mind, I might have sued the county that I lived in at the time, because it was a complete con job.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
And that's not the turning point. The turning point
okay.
is I get out of jail. I go knock on some doors of friends, and everybody's looking at me like I'm a ghost that's back from the dead. Nobody knows how to even handle the fact that I'm at their front door. So I start to get frustrated because everybody's freaking out. I wind up kicking in someone's door with two friends of mine, two really big farm boys behind me. I kick in this guy's door and I get answers. And the answers are that this guy who moved in my circles had taken all of my belongings while I was in jail. This is what I was told. And he was, you know, there are those people who put up a tough front. And then there's that very small percentage of the population, especially in the dark underworld of society, that are, they're genuine badasses. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And there aren't many of them, right? There aren't that many that are genuine, dyed in the wool. That's somebody you don't want to have a problem with. Well, that was the guy that took all my stuff. So,
geez, that sucks, tales, man.
Yeah, tales spread the way they do. Things escalated the way they do. And next thing I know, I'm talking to another friend of mine who is also one of those kind of people. He's a genuinely a dangerous guy. And he says to me, I'm going to come down. We're on the phone. He says, I'm going to come down to where you are, and I want to show you something. I said, okay. He comes down to where I am, and he says, come on out to the truck with me. I said, okay. Still not getting it, right? Like, no sense that the waters are really deep underneath me at this point. And he opens the passenger side door. Still no sense that the waters are deep. He reaches in the glove box. Not getting it. Pulls something out. Still not getting it. Puts it in my hand. Still not getting it. I can smell oil and I feel something really heavy in my hand and it's covered in a rag. And it was a storybook moment of bad stuff. I look down. It's at night, right? And there's a street light and it's the light is coming through the trees. So it's like in little rays of street light. One of the rays hits my hand as the rag separates. It's a revolver. It's a gun.
Wow.
Still not getting it, Sean. not cognizing on where I'm really at. He pulls out another gun of his own. I look at the handle, and I notice the handle's wrapped in electrical tape. And I look at the butt of the handle, and I notice there are file marks on it. All I can assume is that this is because the serial number has been filed off of this gun. Which leads me to a host of other assumptions, as you might imagine, right?
Oh, yeah.
Still not getting it. It was amazing, my ability to block out what was really happening. I didn't get it until he said, we're going to go find that guy, and we're going to handle him once and for all.
Holy crap.
Outside, externally, I was a mask. Externally, I was playing the part. I'm like, yeah, you're damn right. Yeah, we are. Inside, it was like I was made of glass and somebody threw a rock through me. It just, my whole world just shattered. And that was the moment. That was the moment where I realized I would rather disappear from everything I've ever known than premeditatively plan to hunt down and shoot someone in basically cold blood.
Holy crap.
So I had to act. So I told the guy, the friend, the dangerous friend, meet me back here at midnight. We'll go do this. He said, okay. He gave me what would wind up being the last methamphetamine I would ever do. He said, go get yourself right. I'll be back at midnight. We're going to handle this. And then he looks at me and smiles and he goes, it's going to be awesome. Jesus. So I said, okay. Here's what happened next. I went inside, got everybody in the apartment high as kites, said, I need to use your phone. Started calling friends. Totally calm on the outside, by the way, this whole time. But inside, I am freaking now. I am just freaking, right? It's become very real to me very quickly that I've just crossed that line we were talking about where I've been thrust into a moment that is way bigger than me. Like there's no bottom to the water that I'm in at this point. Within 2 hours or less than 2 hours, I was in the back of a Honda CRX with two girls I didn't even know, who were driving from the town I lived in all the way to Southern California to go see their respective families for Thanksgiving, and they're giving me a ride back to my house at the request of a friend of mine. And I just disappeared, man.
Wow.
I was just gone. When Facebook came around years later, every single one of my friends from that city in that era, when they found me on Facebook, dude, I thought you had died. Everybody thought I was dead. You just disappeared, man. We didn't know what happened. And so that was the turning point moment, man.
Holy crap, man. That's intense.
It was intense. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Wow. Okay, so I don't even know how to go. I'm like processing. I'm like, whew, it's intense, dude. So there's good parts and bad parts.
Yeah.
Right? We'll start off with the good.
Okay? Yeah.
I always have like a poop sandwich, you know, good, bad, good.
Sure.
So,
sure. Nice bread.
So what was right? So what was you know, one of the good moments about that transformation? Like, okay, time to wake up, and yeah, I need to go a different direction. You know, so what was talk about something that good that came out of that?
Yeah, actually, I'm ready for that question because he said shamelessly plugging his book. I've given it a lot of thought and actually written it out. You know, the big thing that happened was on the drive home to my mom's house, I was just sitting in the back of that CRX. I didn't know these girls, you know, I had nothing to talk about with them. I was a wreck. I had just like, it was just all kind of coming, flooding in what I was just part of. And
right.
The way I put it in my book is this: there was, ever since I was a little boy, there was a little boy or a man or whatever trapped inside me. And I really hope that people shut off their distractions and hear this part. I now call that person the moral man, because I always, always wanted to do good. Always. Ever since I was a little kid, I would always try to bring people together and create magical kind of special moments for them. Much like the event that I'm building in, that you're part of this year. It is one of my deepest, most abiding passions to bring people together and give them something special. And that's a pretty decent thing to strive for, right? But it was that part of me was always blocked by the conditioning, the programming, the brainwashing, right? The influence of my peers. I did not have healthy peers, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We could talk about the guy who I call my godbrother, who was the most intense guy I've ever met. At 17 years old, he was the leader, undisputed, of what amounted to a gang of outlaws that were all older than him. I don't know how he did it. He was without question the boss of the gang of the whole group of guys that were like legitimately in and out of prison outlaws when he was 17. So
holy crap.
That's just an aside though. So I guess the point of all that is, get me back on track, buddy. Where were we going with that? We were talking about the good things.
What was a good moment that, or some positive that came out of your transformation?
Okay. I'm back. at the risk of sounding like using a heavy-handed metaphor, I was able to connect with that part of me, right? I was able to finally hear that guy, finally realize the damage that I had done over the intervening 28 years to that part of me that only wanted to do good in the world and was never able to. And I think that making that connection and realizing that there was always this guy who was just sort of trapped behind glass and watching in just shocked horror as I did one terrible thing after another, I think that sort of making that connection has been a huge thing that has fueled me to, you know, to kind of get up one more time than I fall. And I'd like to tell you that everything sort of fell into place after this big critical moment, this big catharsis, if you will, but it didn't. It was years and years right. and years of work to go from totally brainwashed, antisocial, outlaw, criminal, drug addict to this guy who's talking to you today.
Wow. You know, there's one thing that I love about the show.
Yeah.
Is that I get to learn the past. You know, we're always taught to, you know, don't worry about the past, pass it a past, blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
But like, I get to know, like, there's always, because a good story, and you know this, man, because you specialize in storytelling, you know, as a speaker coach, and like, you specialize in storytelling, and you know better than anybody that when you're telling a story, you got to give context.
Yeah.
Context is the foundation of the story. So just because you tell a story doesn't mean they're going to connect to it, but you get the context, you give some backstory, you get some from here to there type. That's what I love about the show, because these are things that I kind of knew. Like, oh, yeah, I know he did this, you know, whatever, but in this type of setting, right? I mean, you just get the back end of it, and you're just like, holy crap. Like, how different you are from what I know you now is amazing.
It, you know, I'm amazed at it sometimes. I mean, I really am. Like, there were so many times I thought I was just kind of shackled to the way that I was brought up and shackled to the things that I was taught to believe. It is like, it can be so hard to get out from under those, well, stories, right? And that's the funny thing about storytelling, right? It's like this metaphysical thing. It happens on all these layers. I can tell you a story. I've just told your listeners a story. And the reason I'm good at telling that story or stories like that is because I tell myself a story about being a good storyteller, right? And I'm able to tell myself that story about having value as a storyteller because I've identified and undone the stories that were sort of imprinted on me when I was younger.
Okay.
Head's exploding, I know.
I was like, all right, I'm tracking.
So the storytelling bit is, it's so kind of like multi-leveled, right? That's one of the things that I really focus with people when I train them and coach them. You can't tell a great story externally to the public until you have gotten clear on some of the stories you have internally. And it's really fascinating. I find this particularly when I teach people about their voices. You know, this is where this is funny. We'll be like in my coaching, we'll be doing the storytelling where they're writing their story and people are just clicking along. They're engaging. Everybody's having a great time. I go into body language. People start to feel empowered. They're feeling strong and confident. We get to voice. And sometimes it's just like, it just goes down to crickets, you know, and it's interesting because the voice connects to your stories about yourself, like what you think about yourself, your emotional sort of reality. So yeah, it's pretty fascinating how many layers and levels stories play out on and show up in and how they affect us.
Yeah, definitely. So what is one of the hardest things that you've had to deal with, you know, either during or after your transformational moment?
I think the hardest and also the most liberating, there was a moment many years later that I would say was like a huge breakthrough. And for me, that moment was realizing that if I was to be who I'm convinced I'm supposed to be, you know, and really to try to fulfill this sense of destiny I have within me, that I needed to basically extricate myself from my blood family. You know, I don't know how it happened necessarily. I don't know when it started. I've got lots of great theories about it. But the fact of the matter is, everyone in my blood family thinks small. They're scarcity minded. They're fear-based thinking.
Wow.
To a man or a woman, if you ask them for life advice, it will be some version of shrink your expectations down so that they fit your current reality. To me, that's a tumor. You know, that's a malignant tumor to think
right.
That way. And I can't. I've tried. I tried for years to get the sort of the moving target of the approval of my family, while also being the guy that you know, who I think if you could say anything about me, it's that I don't shrink my dreams down to fit my current reality at all.
Right. Yep.
And so I had a day during the end of the recession where it was ironic because work was just starting to come in again after like 3.5 years of just clawing my way through a wasteland, you know, work was starting to come in again, but I was too far behind on every bill. So in an afternoon, I got my car repossessed. I lost my apartment. I got my driver's license suspended for lack of you know, renewal payment. And I lost my power in my apartment in about a 4-hour stretch. Yes. It was just boom, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Ironically, I had money in my pocket, but it was too late. And so I made what would wind up being either the mistake or the total synchronistic right move of calling my sister, really just for a friendly ear. And I told her everything that happened to me, and she freaks out and she says, "Oh my God, I'm calling a family meeting." So I'm going to break the fourth wall here and say, we don't do family meetings in my family. Right.
Right.
So when she said right. that, it was like a spider walked across my neck. I was like, whoa, you know, but for some reason, I went to this family meeting, which was supposed to be how they could help me through this transition. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want to go to it. Went to it anyway. Shouldn't have gone to it. Because for 2.5 hours, it was like an intervention. They just all dumped on me. They dumped on me with every single thing about me they didn't like. And it ultimately culminated in my brother-in-law, not even blood, saying, here's what we're going to do for you, as if this was a favor. He said, we will take your son while you get back on your feet. We'll make sure that he's got a roof over his head and food in his belly, and we'll get him to school. And I was like, oh my God, an actual moment of decency. And he hands me papers. He said, I've taken the liberty of having a lawyer draw up some papers that outline when you can come and visit.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah. The first word I said starts with F and ends with K. The last word I said was you.
Perfect.
And that was the moment, bro. That was when I realized it was, again, it was like that crashing rock through glass whole reality that I was trying so hard to cling to that was clearly not working just came falling down. And I was just like, oh my God. It was so clear. I can't even have you people in my life. I can't do it. You know, and so.
Dang, dude.
Yeah. And so I told them all what I thought of them, where they could go.
Got it.
I gave them suggestions for things they could stick and places they could stick it. And
awesome.
I walked home.
They're number one.
And when I walked home, it was so crazy because on the way home, I got three. I was still in construction at the time. On the way home, I got three jobs. Like, wow. It was as though the universe itself, God himself, Buddha himself, you name it, was waiting for me to realize that and then said, okay, here you go.
Oh, that's cool.
I've been waiting to help you out, but you dumbass, you can't figure out whether you're part of them or you're doing your own thing.
Right.
I said, okay, I get it. I'm doing my own thing. And whatever that, you know, that sort of synchronous force in the universe is, said, okay, here's a whole bunch of money to help you do your own thing.
Cool.
Yeah. And
I like
really,
it.
Yeah. I mean, from there, my life has been not only on an upward trajectory, but rapidly, on an upward trajectory.
Like, okay,
I was
yeah,
at
I
least
that.
On a slingshot.
Yep. Yeah. Good for you, man. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, man.
I think it lends a lot to, like, you don't, like you have a decision to make. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You don't have to live at a low level. You don't have to
continue.
Like, you can reprogram your mind. You can make a decision. I mean, a simple decision, and then take action on that decision.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the show as well, is that we talk about the transformations. Like, these are real life case studies. These are real life things that people have gone through. Like, and somebody listening who needs a transformation in their life, who needs to live at a exponential level than what they're living now.
Yeah.
Listens to the show and says, well, maybe I can.
It's absolutely possible. It's absolutely a real thing. It usually doesn't show up as in the same way that we romanticize it while we're wishing it would happen, but it's absolutely a real thing. If you're listening to this now, you can totally change.
Yeah. Oh, dude, so true. I look back 10 years and it's like it was supposed to go that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you go, like, you go through these things, and you look back 10 years and you're like, but I'm still kind of transforming. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I had, you know what I mean? Like, I had this 5-year block, you know, of like hardship and despair and overcoming and like the storms, and I'm weathering and I'm coming out the other side. And then, you know, here comes like these moments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That are happening now with the speaking and the radio show and all that. But I look back 10 years and it began 10 years ago, you know,
totally.
And here I am 10 years later with a radio show.
Yeah.
You know, so you never know.
I don't like you never know. What I like is you should never settle. You should never say it can't get better. Right.
Right.
Because, man, my story might not be your story. Your story and my story might not be the story of the listener, but I promise you that for someone born and raised in California, which is maybe the highest level of economic opportunity in the world, I know what it's like to have nothing. Like, clothes on my back, nothing. And I've been there more than one time. Where I had nothing. it was the kindness of strangers, you know, that kept me from dying or from going to jail or from whatever. So in a way, it's like, don't tell me that it's anything but, wait for it, your stories that are keeping you where you are now.
Boom. Boom. That just boom. Dude, that hit hard, man.
Yeah, you got to be willing to do the work, right?
Man.
There's a metaphor I love, Sean, for your listeners. We can all relate to that dream where you're falling, right?
Yes.
And you wake up because you're scared, right? I want to share with you. I was actually able to stay asleep through that dream a couple years after I left that lifestyle and got sober and was really working on myself. And it was one of the most profound things I've ever experienced, because I was terrified. I forced myself to stay asleep. And obviously I'm talking to you. So the urban legend that you die if you don't wake up is obviously not true, but it's a beautiful metaphor, right? Because I was forcing myself in the dream to make a choice to just risk the unknown. And that's really what holds us back. You know, it's that old saying, the devil you know, right? Worse, keep the devil you know over the devil you don't. I want to say to you, if you've got a fire inside you, if you've got something that you should be doing and you know it, you're going to have to risk the unknown. You're going to have to sleep through that falling dream. You know, because the results that you're currently creating are creating the reality you're currently living. And so obviously, if you want to change, then what you're doing is not going to get you there.
There you go. Dude, that's huge. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome.
That's right.
So, yeah, man, definitely. So for the listeners listening right now, if anything resonated with you, post on Facebook, social media. If you're listening, share the episode out. You can call into the show. 657-383-1109 is the number. 657-383-1109. You can talk to myself. You can talk to Manny. Love to take your – I have a team standing by to field phone calls and to weed out the trolls. So
that would be awesome. Yeah. If anybody's got a question, let them rip.
Yeah, man. We'll answer any questions you have. So I want to ask you, man. So you go through this transformational moment, right?
Yeah.
You're getting into the purpose. You're starting to get exponential growth, right? So tell everybody what you do now and what you enjoy most about it.
Yeah. Now what I do is I train speakers, and then I train coaches, authors, experts, and specialists to be speakers. And really my specialty is crafting your presentation, your story, in such a way that it attracts clients for you without you ever having to sell anything. That's kind of my magic pill, you know, the one big deliverable. I'll teach you how to craft your story and deliver it so that if you're a coach, author, expert, or specialist, you can attract clients just by sharing your story from the stage. No pitching, no selling, no nothing. That's the beauty of what I do. And the way that I do it, A, is proprietary. So I don't have time to even tell you here. But I use something I call the question mark storytelling model. And it seems to be pretty revolutionary. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn and tell tales out of school too much. But everyone who sees it is kind of flabbergasted by it.
I like it. Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. I know I was. I was like, what is this thing? What is this? And I've been doing this a while. I'm like, what is this? And then as you get through it, you're like, that makes sense. I totally get it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a different perspective, and it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited by it because it's relatively new as of the airing of this episode, and it's the best model I've created yet.
Like it. I like it. So, yeah, man, who's been your biggest influences, I wonder? Who influences Manny Wolf?
Yeah, man, Stephen Covey is absolutely.
Okay.
Stephen Covey, number
I like
one
it.
With a bullet. Yeah. Currently, I'm really influenced by Steve Sims.
Okay.
If you don't know who Steve Sims is, check that guy out. He's a whole lot of wisdom wrapped up in a really humble package. I would say simple, but he's not simple. But the guy's so humble.
Tons of energy.
Yeah, but he's so humble and so approachable and so just a decent human being. And man, that guy is he's like a Jedi. And if he heard me say that, he'd be upset because he'd be like, oh, no, I'm not a Jedi. No, mate, I'm just a guy. I'm just a bloke from Liverpool, you know.
Right.
And if he hears this, he's going to kill me because that accent was not accurate. But
terrible.
So he's like hugely, hugely a fan of his approach and his work. You know who he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be at the event.
Yeah, he's coming to the event, but he's the guy who can make anything happen. Literally.
Yes.
He's the man who makes the impossible happen. He's going to be speaking at the event this year, and you don't know how lucky you are to get, you know, to come to the event, which obviously if you're listening, you're going to be there. And to hear Steve speak about going from being a fifth generation bricklayer to making miracles happen for the likes of Richard Branson, Elon Musk, the royal family, you know, he does exactly what I want to do. And he does it at a level that I was never even sure was possible.
Wow. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a huge influence. Who else? Who else do we love in our space? Oh, the guys who wrote Stealing Fire, right? And The Rise of Superman. I don't even know those guys' names, but I've listened to Stealing Fire on audio like 7 times now, and I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. So love those guys. Steven Kotler. You know what? I'm going to do these guys a solid, do them some respect, and just take a second on your dime to look up their names because they deserve it.
My God.
Okay, so Stephen Kotler and Jamie Wheel. I'm really loving
Jamie
those
Wheel.
Guys'
okay.
work.
Yep.
I could go on and on,
perfect.
Man, but
yeah, man. Good enough. I just feel that, you know, we have to, like, I'm always curious about who is influencing the influencers. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever think that you get to the top. Like, I know Tony Robbins has coaches.
Right.
And you would think, like,
right.
wait, what? Like, he's
yeah.
the guy. Like, he's
right.
He's the pinnacle. He is the mountaintop. Like, Tony Robbins
yeah,
is
yeah,
the
yeah.
mountaintop. Right?
Totally.
But it's like, but no, he has a team of people smarter than him who are
right. yeah.
coaching him to where he needs, right?
Yeah.
So I never want to feel like I'm the smartest guy in the room. I kind of want to be like mid-level. Like, I want to kind of
mid-level,
know some things
yeah.
so I can
yeah.
carry on conversation. I never want to be at the bottom of the room.
Yeah,
it'd be cool
I know.
To do that if like the room was filled with Elon Musk, the president, and like Tony Robbins or something, you know, like those type of level of players. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, there's
yeah.
like, you know, the UN. Like, people speak at the UN, which would be super cool. I never want to be at the lowest level of the room. I kind of want to be kind of midway. Somewhere.
Yeah, that's the one thing about that, like, be, you know, if you're the dumbest person in the room idea that doesn't fly with me is like, I don't want to be so outmatched that I'm intimidated to talk to people, you know?
Right. Or they have a 5-minute conversation with you and go, yeah, this is not your crowd.
Like, what are you doing here?
Right.
That's like the worst question, right, that we could ever be asked.
Right. What are you doing here? Like, same
who
as
let you.
You
in?
Right. Awesome. So let's talk about that event, man. The event, the Thousand Speakers Academy event, October 5th, 6th, and 7th in San Diego.
Dude.
We're teaming up, joining forces, and
yeah.
It's going to be – like, you want to be at this event, whether you want to be a speaker or not. Like, if your desire is to be a speaker, cool, man. You need to be there. But even if you're not a speaker, or maybe you've thought about it, or like, you need to beat this event, because even if you're not a speaker and you're an influencer of some kind, or you're a coach or whatever, like, you're still going to get a ton of value from the people who are speaking there.
Yeah. And here's what we've done. Like, one of the things for me that I struggled with events is they're a lot of fun while you're at them, but their focus For the most part, the focus is not really teaching you implementable, valuable things.
Right.
And so I kind of said to myself, why not? Right. Why can't we do that? So we've set this year's up in a really cool way. With the price of admission, you get access to group training before the event. Like, before the event, you can get coached on how to create your signature speech. I'll be doing
yep.
the coaching myself. So that's going to be amazing, right? So you're going to show up day one of the event with your signature speech in hand, using the question mark model that I referred to earlier, taught by yours truly. And from day one, we're going to hit the ground running. Sean, you will be helping. I'll be helping. Another
yep.
partner of ours, Sean, will be helping. And we're going to give you live in-person presentation training. Boom. You walk in the
yep.
door, we're going to show you how to rock that stage. Like, oh my God, I know you better
right?
be feeling
like,
how awesome this is, right?
I don't know if anybody's ever done this before.
I don't know either,
not that
man, and I hope not. Honestly,
not
I hope
seen.
Not. Yeah. So we're going to cover vocal tonality. We're going to cover body language, and we're going to go into the why and the how.
Yep.
You're going to get it all.
Yep.
A peek under the kilt, as it were, you know,
yep.
or if you prefer,
and I'll
a peek
even,
behind the curtain.
And I'm even willing to throw in my strategies of how to get booked after you've designed your signature speech.
Well,
so what do I do with that signature
now.
Speech?
I was just about to do the big reveal of that. Yeah. And so that's another
ahead,
thing.
Boss.
Once,
go ahead, boss.
So now we've got you, your signature speech is in hand. We've given you presentation training, real life, on boots on the ground, teaching you how to be on stage and rock it. Sean is going to reveal how he gets more speaking gigs than he can manage. I don't know if you guys know this, but Sean has the enviable problem of being able to pick and choose between speaking engagements because his system for finding them is that good. We're not
yeah.
stopping there, though, because even if you Well, let me just say this. You can't speak all the time. It just is not sustainable for it to be your only method of income. So we've got, I would say, the preeminent Facebook group builder probably in the world, certainly the best that I know of. He's going to be there teaching you how he built and monetized a group that is now 56,000 people large, and he did it in under 2 years. We're going to have podcasting experts, live streaming experts, organic viral content experts. The theme with all of this, by the way, that is so cool to me and special to me, is this does not require Facebook ads. This does not require marketing funnels. This does not require hiring people. Right?
Exactly.
So what I want your listeners to think about is how would your life change if you could consistently get, let's say, 4 well-paid, awesome clients a month above what you get now. Let's just say 4, right? You get 4 more each month consistently. My guess is that would be a complete game changer for you. And we're going to
especially if you're charging $1,000 each person.
Yeah, or more, right? I mean,
yeah.
3-month coaching programs that run $5,000 are not uncommon. Now, if you can land 4 of those a month, you've just gone up a notch. That's our goal with this event. That's our goal, is to teach you everything you need to know so that you can raise your impact, income, and influence, and really kind of, you know, you got into coaching because you want to help people and serve people. And for a lot of us, the truth of the matter is 1 or 2 rough months and the boat might sink. You know, so you need to learn these strategies for how to attract clients. So what do? They all rush toward building funnels and rush toward Facebook ads. And how many times have you heard somebody say they spent thousands and got no return?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And, people I talk to, I didn't even get anything. Like, I got one person and I targeted all these people and I spent thousands.
Yeah.
Like, well, either your copy sucks or they don't see your value. That's only 2 things it usually is that your copy sucks and nobody wants to buy it, or just the value that you're providing isn't jiving with people. You know what I'm saying?
I would say in addition to that, it's a matter of you're not ready yet.
Well, that's the overarching, though.
Okay,
so you're not ready because your copy – like, it shows that you're not ready because your copy sucks, right? And
– yep.
Check this out. For example, okay? Somebody puts out a post, right? And here's the difference between somebody who's ready and not ready. Somebody puts out a post and says, hey, guys, you know, I'm on this other platform, LinkedIn. Come check it out, you know? So you probably get a couple people, right? Maybe a couple.
Right.
What I did was I said, hey, I use LinkedIn to get booked to speak and to meet people. Here's my profile. Click on it. And once we connect, I will endorse you and converse with you on this platform. Over 100 people connected with me from Facebook to LinkedIn. I brought them to another platform because I endorsed them, because I gave value, because I told them exactly what I wanted them to do. I had one call to action. I see 3, 4, 5 call to actions on some people's posts. I'm like, Jesus. So I gave them one call to action. Go there and connect with me. By doing that, I will endorse you, because undeniably people are selfish. And so, I'm going to get something out of it. Yeah, let's do it. What's in it for me mentality, right? The with them mentality. Over 100 people posted. I got 4 new clients out of that post, and I didn't pay one dime of advertising. I just used my Facebook network.
Proof that organic strategies, when executed wisely, can get you where you need to go. So this is kind of what we want to deliver, right? This is what the event is all about for you guys listening, is there's a range of income as a coach of level that you shouldn't be messing around with expensive funnels and complex marketing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You should know how to put in a little bit of sweat equity and attract clients to you. That's what we're going to teach you here.
Yep. Exactly.
Boom.
Absolutely. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing event. The people, the caliber of people there,
I know.
Outside of celebrities, of course, you know, like Tony Robbins and Gary Vaynerchuk, but literally the caliber of people that are going to be there is second to none.
Yeah.
Second
it's
to
absolutely
none. Handpicked.
Yeah.
Handpicked.
Absolutely
speakers.
Handpicked. And the cool thing too is that each speaker represents a link in the chain. Right? They're
yes.
each going to teach you one piece of an overall holistic system.
If you leave this event and you don't get booked to speak, or you don't get new coaching clients, or you don't like level up in your business, you were asleep.
Yeah, it's because you didn't implement.
You didn't implement. Yeah, you just took notes and then said, okay, it'll happen. No, you got to implement strategies all the time.
That's right.
Awesome, dude. October 5th, 6th, and 7th. Mark it on your calendars, 5th, 6th, 7th. Manny is going to rock this thing. You know, in his home state of California is going to be amazing. I cannot wait. Him and I are going back and forth all the time with the team. Like, you know, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Like, everything is well thought out, well strategized, well planned. Nothing is rushed or hurried. Everything happens as a purpose in this event. So, yeah, come out, everybody, to the Thousand Speakers Academy event, October 5th, 6th, and 7th. Get your butts in the seat. In the show notes is a link, and we're going to rock this thing, dude. We're going to crush this thing.
We are absolutely going to rock it.
And people's lives are going to be changed.
And that's really what it's all about. One final thought for your listeners. Be ready to jump on a call with me if you want to come, because we're not just letting anyone in, frankly. We want to do our best to curate the audience, too, so that it's just like one big powerhouse of like collaborative, collective awesomeness. So y'all get to talk with me.
Awesome. All right, brother. So this is the moment of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, websites, your Facebook, your products, movies, favorite cheeseburgers, whatever you want, man. This is your time to shine. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Absolutely, man. My shameless plug is this. If anything I have said has stuck with you, has resonated with you, given you a new way to look at things or whatever, come find me at my Facebook group. Sean has already put it in the show notes. It's facebook.com/groups/1000speakers academy. And then another forward slash for some weird reason.
It's an awesome group, man. Like, I love being in that group, you know, because I'm in a bunch of different speaker groups because, you know, you want to get lines of communication to meet people. But this is where we hang out. We don't just, you know, link posts and drop posts. Like, I mean, we literally are helping people.
Yeah.
Great community, man. You've done a great job curating that.
Thank you. Thank you. For the listeners, one thing that you get in my group that I'm extremely proud of is absolutely world-class trainings every Wednesday. Like Sean Douglas was on there teaching us how he gets too many gigs to handle. I've got copywriters, salespeople. I've got top shelf, just intellectuals. Like, it's the level of the trainings we do on Wednesdays would be worth it if I charged $100 a month for this group. I mean, no questions asked. It's just an amazing opportunity to learn, to level up, to get support, and to have community while you master the art and the business of public speaking.
There you go. You know, that phone call, man, just still, like, we still kind of joke about it. I'm like, Manny, what? Dude. So like, I got booked to speak, like, twice in at the same day. Like, I don't know which one. And you're like, you suck, man. It was just that moment of realization. You're just like,
that was pretty funny.
You suck. Like, I don't know. But then he's like, shut up about your problem.
Right. Your quote unquote problem.
Just, right. It was just so funny. You're like, but I couldn't think of anybody else. Like, who would I call? Right. Like, what would I do? You know, like,
yeah,
let me just call Manny. You know what I mean? So like, you're always top of mind. You know what I mean? You're always top of mind, my confidant, my friend. So thank you so much, man, for being on the show. This has been amazing. Amazing.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Good time was had by all.
Oh, yeah. So as we close the show, we always close it with a call to action. So what would be your best nugget of knowledge that would motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today?
You know, for me, it's low tech It's boots on the ground. It's kind of like not sexy, but you're always going to have struggles no matter what level you're at. You're always going to have just blind spots, etc. The best thing I could ever teach anyone, the thing that underpins everything else, is be prepared to get up one more time than you fall down, because the falling is inevitable.
Oh, that's so true. You're going to stumble, you're going to fall, it's going to suck, but everything is building you up, man. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
You're just growing. And the growth is in the failure. The growth is in the, like, if I was successful at every single thing I did, at some point I feel like I'd be egotistical and I feel like I wouldn't be growing, because I'm like, I just touched gold, you know, whatever I touch is gold, you know, whatever. But like when I fail, I'm like, ooh, that sucked. Like that didn't feel, like, don't do that no more. You know, like the growth is in the learning. The growth is in the failure.
Totally. Totally is, man.
Yep.
It's only through the gauntlet of adversity that true character is formed.
There you go, man. And we will end it on that note, dude. Thanks for coming on the show, man. Thank you so much.
Definitely, brother.
So Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything that Manny has said today resonates with you, get in touch with him. Join the Thousand Speakers Academy Facebook group. It is an amazing, amazing community of awesome people. As we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that are deep in your heart. I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.